We unfortunately had a few issues with Tim's audio during this upcoming episode, so apologies up front, but we hope it doesn't detract too much from the episode. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Rock Down Podcast, the podcast that doesn't care how bands got their names. And now, direct from the Rock Down Studios, here is your host, Mr. Cheese.
Hello, and welcome to the show. This week, we're just going to dive straight in. We are delighted to be joined by Tim Ripper Owens of KK's Priest. Hello, Tim. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Hi, Stuart. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm absolutely fantastic. Thank you.
Good, man. Good. Hope all is well.
Yeah, everything is good. It sounds like you were having all kinds of fun actually managing to get the link up and running.
Well, you know, today I had the power off at my house because they were doing construction and all this stuff in the house. So we had a day without power. And so I was outside doing things on my phone. And then a giant storm rolled into town. And I'm out there, so I came in, and then I'm trying to get this on my phone, and I realize you can't do this on your phone. So I haven't done an interview on a laptop in years. I said to Jamie, I said, I don't think I've done an interview on a laptop, and I can't remember when. So it's pretty cool. I like this. I could see everything. My WAV files are pretty big, so it looks like I'm talking pretty loud.
You're absolutely fine. That's better than having your kind of way in the back. No, it's absolutely fabulous. And the wonders of mixing afterwards, we don't do anything live because as much as anything, I tend to just screw the hell of a lot of this up. So we're all good. It'll be the most polished edit. So no, we're all good.
Nice.
So if, like I said, as I mentioned beforehand, we tend to talk a lot of kind of non-music related stuff, but obviously by way of introductions, if there is anybody who's literally just got out of prison for a 25-year stretch for something and doesn't know who you are and what you do, can you give us kind of a very brief version of your history?
Well, probably the people in prison know me better, so it might be a better way to start. I came to fame, joining Judas Priest back in 1996. The movie Rockstar was loosely based on that experience. And, you know, it was crazy. A kid from Akron, Ohio. I was in a Judas Priest tribute band for a little bit of time. And then a few years down the road, Judas Priest calls me and, you know, I did two records, two live records also, and a live DVD, nominated for a Grammy here in America. And it was a fantastic time, and great friends and everything, you know. But then obviously we all knew it would come to an end sometime. Rob came back, but I went on to do, you know, I'm so busy music. I sang for the band Iced Earth for years, which was played in front of the same size kind of shows. Sang with Yngwie Malmsteen, Dio Disciples, made countless solo records, a Beyond Fear record. Lately I've done a New Revenge and Spirits of Fire and the Three Tremors. And, you know, most of my time is spent touring the world solo making music. But, you know, I've been lucky to be busier music right now than I ever have, you know. And then KK called me. He was out of Judas Priest, and he was going to make a record and said, let's do it. So that's where we're at now. We've got together after he was out of Priest for 10 years made our own band and got a great cast of band members and have a great record coming out.
Fantastic. Well, I have to say, I will be completely honest, and I only say this to the people where it is genuine. I'm a massive fan of what you do and your voice. I think you are one of the genuine great talents in this industry. So I massively appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Now I can mark down that I have three of you out there. So that's great. Fantastic.
Brilliant. Well, as I say, we will head straight into the fairly obtuse questions that we have that make up this show. So outside of music, what things are you really passionate about?
Well, you know, I'm passionate about, you know, I love sports, you know, I actually love golf, to be honest. I don't do it as much as I used to, or I'd like to do, because music takes up my time. Even with COVID, I'm in my studio every day recording music for somebody else. And so that takes up a lot of my time. But, you know, in family life, my kids, my girlfriend, her kids, I think it's kind of a passion as well, you know. But I'm just a homebody now. I stay home as much as I can when I'm not doing music and relax. And but, you know, I think probably those are the main things.
Do you watch a lot of golf as well then? As you say, you play sometimes. Do you watch it a lot? Or
I do. It's funny. I enjoy watching it, you know. I mean, I will get up. When it's the weekend, I'm not doing anything. If there's nothing on, I'll watch all the tours. I mean, I'll watch the European Tour. It's usually on early or whenever. And then I'll even watch the LPGA if it's on. I mean, I just love to watch for something about it. But I love to watch the PGA. I have friends on it. And you know, I don't sit and take my whole day away. It's kind of at the end, especially like majors. I love majors. The Open's coming up. I love majors. So I think that's the big one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very fortunate with the time difference here, because things like you know, when they have the Masters at Augusta, I just love that course. It's a breathtaking course. But of course, with the time difference, you know, the kind of from about kind of 3 o'clock in the afternoon right through to 1 o'clock in the morning, I can kind of like, you know, just sit here finishing off work, and I just that course I just love. Beautiful course.
It really is beautiful. I love all the, you know, it's something about all the majors. I just love, and I love when the courses are even harder. I love it. I love when they're fast greens and a lot of rough. And I love to watch the Open because of the link style courses. And I'm a fan of that. Not that I would golf good on them, but the way, you know, I have a draw or a hook or fade or whatever's going on. I don't have to worry about the trees half the time. I know I got to worry about everything else, but I'm always like, hey, I think I like this because it's wide open in front of me. I could just kind of hit, and I know I'll end up in one of those pot bunkers, but still, yeah, I just love to watch the majors. But I got to be honest, lately, the PGA's been pretty exciting. And, you know, what was really exciting, which just doesn't happen very often, I got to tell you, with the last U.S. Open, when the fella from England was in the lead after 2 days.
Yep.
And he was like, it starts with a W or something. The guy was, he's like 40 something and never won. And he finally won in on the European Tour. It's like Wicked or I have something. I can't remember his name, but you know, older guy got a beard. Younger than me, but such a great story. And he was in the lead. And listen, when the U.S. Open's on, I'm going to root like anybody would. An American to win, right? I want an American to win. And I was actually rooting for him. So it's really, I was like, and he, you know, plummeted on day 3 and 4, like so many people do.
Yeah.
But it was so exciting to watch that. I love a lot of it. It's funny. I love a lot of the European players. There's so many that I love. I think that's why I like the sport so much, and to watch, even because you know what, so many of them come over here and golf on the PGA, all the big ones, you know. And you know, it's just a great, I don't know, something about the sport that I like. And it's really, I think it's, even without Tiger Woods, I think it's really exciting right now. A lot of good young players.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I must admit, I love when the Ryder Cup comes around. I just love the Ryder Cup.
It's fantastic. And you know, Jack Nicklaus just posted something or said something. He's like, you know, it's such a great event. No matter, I love this event. Not even if we don't even have to win. He's something like that. He said, whoever wins Europe or America, it's still, I don't care. It's just such a great event.
Yeah.
And that really, I mean, obviously you root for your own side to win. That's not it's a no brainer, right? But it really is, you know. And this year is going to be a lot of new faces, I think. You know, a lot of young players that are coming up. I love the Ryder Cup. Yep, I definitely love it. I love, you know why? I love the match play. I love, you know, four ball alternative shot. I just love that kind of play.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. Okay. So here's a really strange question for you. Would you rather be in jail for a year or lose 5 years off of your life?
Well, if you're going to say I'm only going to live to 56, then I don't want to do that then, because then I'll... if you're saying I'm going to live to 90, I'll take the 5 years off my life. I say take the 5 years off my life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think it's got to be the mental battle, hasn't it? Of a year away, losing liberty for a year. I mean, you know, that's a big mental ask.
Well, I might be all right being lazy sitting in a cell, you know. But my problem is you might be taking 20 years off my life if I go to prison because someone might shank me.
Oh, dear. So, again, pretty out there. But what would you love to learn more about? Is there anything kind of specific that you've kind of always thought to yourself, yeah, that's something I should really learn about, but I've never got around to it? Is there anything out there that you really would like to know more about?
Well, probably brain surgery, because then I wouldn't have to worry about what I was doing next week. I would have a good job. So if I could just learn a little more about brain surgery, then I would be maybe a lot more. I guess my patients would want me to learn a lot more, not a little bit. I mean, I should have learned something else more than just singing, that maybe anything. I don't know, maybe just business in general. Learn a little bit more. I know people think I probably know about it, but probably business would be how to do podcasts. How about that?
Well, bits of it are really, really easy, but bits of it are damn, they're hard. I tell you, actually, when I started this up, because we actually started this off as a pilot for somebody else, and nobody told me I was going to host it. They literally said, will you do a pilot? And so we did the pilot, and it got really popular, and then they kind of offered me a deal, and I kind of said, yeah, but I can kind of do this myself. So we just let it run ourselves, and funnily enough, the technical side of it, actually getting out there, is the hardest bit. But after that, it's relatively easy. So yeah, that could be. Speaking of which, then what would be on your bucket list? What have you not done that is kind of still there? You know, place you want to visit or anything like that?
Man, I've done so much. There is things I probably shouldn't say because I get myself in trouble, but. I mean, Stuart, I've done just so much, you know. Have you even acted in a small part of something? I would say maybe acting. Maybe I would say maybe a little bucket list of acting in some, but not something cheesy, something really good, you know.
Yeah.
Like maybe I can play Mark Wahlberg in a movie instead of him playing me. You know, see that? Can you imagine that? The only thing he would be mad at is there's not one ab in my body, on my stomach. So he would be mad that, you know, I've always said, Stuart, that when he played me in Rockstar, it was the only time in my life I had abs. So now he'd have me playing him. He'd be like, oh, are you kidding me? I'm sure my movie would do better, though.
So if we can somehow get together, work on the Mark Wahlberg life story, and we play you, and we have you play the entire thing topless, just to piss him off throughout the entire thing.
Oh, there's no doubt. I'd probably shave abs into my stomach hair, so it kind of looked like it, like through a design. But it'd be great. Could you imagine me doing Marky Mark and stuff? I mean, listen, I guess I'd have to play him with the old part of it right now, right? I mean, I think I'm older than him, so maybe that was not going to work out. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, my bucket list is got a lot going on.
Brilliant, brilliant. Do you have not necessarily musically, but kind of through your travels, whether it's been music or personal, do you actually have a favorite place that you've ever been to? Is a one place that has really kind of blown you away?
That's so hard because there's so many. You know, I loved when I was amazed at Beirut when I went there, how awesome, you know, this hotel I was at and the food and the place I was at. But, you know, it's funny, I've always said this, America's got so much, mm-hmm. You get spoiled so many different types of things. I mean, I just drove to South Carolina, so I had this beautiful scenery. And, you know, one minute you can go there, next minute you can be in the desert or the ocean. And so we really have this whole gambit. But I love, there's something that must be probably because of the Judas Priest thing, but I love England.
Yep.
You know, to go to the Midlands and, you know, I'm more of a laid back kind of, I'm not talking about the hustle bustle of London, because I'm not a giant fan of that, nor am I a giant fan of New York cities and the Los Angeles traffic. So that's not my scene. My scene is scenery and just chilled, laid back, you know, the food's a little bland, which I actually like that. So it's nothing that plays into it. And the Indian food is phenomenal. So I go to England, like the scenery, the food, the Indian food, you know, I got a lot of friends there. Something about it. I just love England.
It's actually funny you should say that, because as you probably are aware, kind of an English thing to do is to go out and have an Indian meal, and you kind of get the lads who will deliberately order like the hottest thing on the menu. You know, that's kind of the big thing to kind of, you know, have just too much to drink, go out for an Indian and order the hottest kind of thing that you can get.
I would have a kingfisher and a chicken fal. Right? Is that was the, because I ordered. Listen, I order, my regular meal is an extra spicy chicken vindaloo. That's what I get anyways.
Right.
You know, that's my favorite. But I did one with Judas Priest. We were recording a record. I think it was in a town called Ripley. I almost said Believe It or Not after that, but that wasn't true. But we were actually in a town called Ripley. And I ordered, I said, what's the hottest? And they said chicken fowl. I think that's it. I'm pretty sure it is.
It is, yeah.
And, yeah, and the first bite, first of all, it tasted a little bit like gasoline, so it wasn't going to win awards for the best taste. Wasn't horrible, though. I mean, maybe I kind of like fuel, but the first bite, I got the hiccups. Like, I took that bite, instantly, I had that. It was like, oh, I drank a lot of Taj Mahals and Kingfishers that night, for sure.
Well, it's funny. There's a word you mentioned previously, and this was the thing. There was a comedy sketch in England a few years ago. I think the program was called Goodness Gracious Me, and basically what it was a bunch of Indian comedians, and they were going out to an English restaurant having been out for a drink. So you've got all these Indian people, and their kind of take on it was that he said that this guy who's had a few too many drinks, he's Indian, and he says, I want the blandest thing on the menu, because they were at an English restaurant, and so that made me and that made me think of what you just said there,
because that is great.
Yeah, and that is exactly, that does sum up English food, the blandest thing on the menu. So yeah,
that's great.
So again, complete kind of 180 questions wise. Do you have any good luck charms?
I don't. You know, I don't think I've ever really had one. I don't have anything that I wear or to have with me that's, you know, that I really think about. Or strangely enough, that's kind of weird. I don't have any.
So I'm going to assume not superstitious either then, or?
Well, I mean, that could be why I keep getting kicked out of all the bands I've been in. Maybe I need to find one. That's the problem. I leave for England on Monday. I'm getting a rabbit's foot before I leave, before KK kicks me out of the band already.
Where are you? Are you here for? Are you here for a while?
Yeah, I'm here. I think it's like 5 or 6 days or something. I'm not really sure. I'm just doing some. We haven't been able to get together, so I'm trying to get there. Hopefully I get all the paperwork filled out. I got, you know, all the testing and everything done. It's not easy to get there. I got to even set up a test 2 days into when I'm there to get tested. And if I'm there 8 days, I got to get another test while I'm there. So,
yeah, they're pretty kind of hot on everything still here at the moment.
So far the vaccine doesn't mean anything. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. It's, speaking of which, I did actually make a note there, because you kind of said you were not kind of one for, generally for kind of big cities and stuff like that. So this is kind of a tough question. There's a couple of people I've talked to about this. How has the whole kind of lockdown kind of treated you? And from the point of view, have you found that it's been, because this is a really, you know, it's difficult to kind of to almost answer it of yes, it's been good, because obviously it's been hard for so many people. But have you found creatively that it's that you've kind of had worse times in your life, or how has it genuinely been for you?
Well, I had to restructure what I was going to do. I mean, I'm used to touring. I mean, I tour solo or with the Three Trimmers band, or and the, you know, the KK thing was going to be touring. So that's how I make my living, is playing live music. So I had to restructure what I was going to do, because I have to get paid. I can't just sit at home and write a record because I'm not getting an income.
Yep.
So it's not something I could do. And I really didn't want to become a greeter at Walmart or something like that, you know? So, you know, I could Uber or do, you know, DoorDash and deliver food, but then people would be like, oh my God, you know, can you sing me a song while you drop me off at the supermarket? And I'm like, yeah. But you know what I did, Stuart, was I did a lot of recording for bands. I did a lot of guest singing. So actually I ended up having, you know, obviously the busiest year ever singing for things, because I probably sang on 40 projects. I don't know how many songs I've done, but I'll bet you I sang on 40 projects at least.
Right.
One song, two songs, six songs, 10 songs, 20 songs for people all over the gambit. But most of the time it's singing one song for bands all over the world, all different price levels. So I was able to do that. You know, I can't sustain that forever here, so I got to get back out there. But it was, you know, I did whatever I had to do to get back. You know, I had no problem wearing a mask, getting vaccinated, doing my due diligence just so we could try to get back to normal. You know, yeah. whether I think it's right or wrong, whether I think some of it went overboard, some of the rules were a little bit too much. Closing mom and pop stores down, which shouldn't have ever been closed down. Yes, but still, I'm going to do whatever. So yeah, it was a big change. I mean, especially because the KK's Priest record was going to be coming out. We had touring lined up. So I was worried for a second, what am I doing? And my girlfriend's a paramedic, and she went to New York for 2 months to work in it when it first hit. So, you know, we've kind of been in the line of fire with all of this, and she still basically is in the line of fire out there. So we have a little different angle, but I still had to find something to do, you know, to try to make a living. So it definitely totally changed. And I'm not kidding. I have a song to finish up today for someone in Australia. But I'm nonstop singing in here.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And I, funnily enough, something you said there, I do tend to agree with you, because I think I would, you know, I've got some health challenges, which, you know, are what they are at the end of the day. I always think the rest of my life is blessed. I've met the woman of my dreams, been with her for, you know, getting on for 30 years. So I've got no kind of complaints about anything, but it's kind of something you said there is the fact that it was kind of, it almost seems, and I know you have to kind of say this diplomatically, so I'll kind of say it how I look at it, that kind of closing almost the entire world down, I kind of always got the feeling that somebody like myself who you know, got a message very early on to Shield, I wasn't comfortable about everybody else having to do certain things just for me. You know, that was the thing. I always thought it should have been more focused on the people that very early on you realized who this was taken out. You know, I know across the board it obviously took out, you know, the odd kind of, in the scheme of things, the odd young person, but it did tend to be an older person's disease or people with underlying things. And so, as you kind of alluded to, it's hard seeing what the overall cost was to, you know, it's very, very difficult, isn't it? Very difficult.
Well, it is. And you actually explained it exactly how I say. And I think if there's ever a shutdown again, that's who they start with. They start with older people and people with underlying conditions, people who aren't healthy, people who are way, way overweight or don't, you know, they're susceptible to get this. I mean, you had New York City putting people who had COVID into the nursing homes. So
here too.
You know, I mean, you know, you could shut down and do it. I'm all right. Just use common sense and don't get into groups. I mean, if somebody had to go to a bar, then they had issues. You know, I mean, you don't have to go to a, you can do things at home. You don't have to go out. But you know, some of these little stores and stuff, and yeah, I think they need to. That's the whole thing. They hurt some people that didn't, but I wasn't going to complain about it. I was just going to do what I had to do. I mean, that's,
yeah,
you know, there's people who complain about, I don't want to get vaccinated and I don't believe COVID's not doing this. And yet they're out there drinking and driving. So I'm like, you know, you probably shouldn't drink alcohol. You probably should, or they're stuffing a Big Mac in their mouth. And I'm like, you know, you probably should worry about your heart on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to choke on a hot dog before you're going to get COVID.
Oh dear. Yes, that is very true. Very true. So another question for you. Are you a gamer, as in video games?
I am not. I do play silly game, a couple on my phone, like a golf game and some puzzle game. And then my girlfriend just got me, for Father's Day, a golf, like a simulator thing it's through my phone, but I have an actual golf club that I swing and I can plug it into my TV and we're kind of like we're playing golf.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of neat. And I haven't really played it because I hurt my hip a little bit. So I keep telling her son, he's 11. He keeps saying, you want to play it? I'm like, oh, I can't yet because, you know, I'm getting old. But you know what? He plays games. He's a gamer. And my girlfriend will sit there and play Fortnite with him, and she's really good at it. So they'll play some games, but I don't really play any. I think I might, now that you said that, I might get a golf game going on after this.
And I have to put my hand up, and I'm sad to say, did you say your girlfriend's son is 11? Was that?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm sad to say that kind of mentally puts me in the same category because I love Fortnite and I get so much stick because I believe at 14 you're supposed to stop playing, in particular stop playing Fortnite. But yeah, I love Fortnite. I have to admit it. I absolutely love Fortnite.
I don't agree with you because I just don't play games in general. I was never – the only thing I ever played was like Tiger Woods Golf on the Xbox, things like that. I was only – in the golf. I never even played any other sports games. But listen, I know tons of all my nephews, you know, all kinds of people that play Fortnite. So, you know, I mean, that seems to be, they don't play it as much anymore. They've been playing something else, but they still love to play it. And it's kind of funny listening to them. They'll be like, they'll be in different rooms and they'll be, you know, and I'll be like, oh, she's like, you just took, that was mine. I came here to get that. And they're over there arguing. I'm driving. You know, I love hearing it. Like, he'd always yell out, how, all day long. And I'm like,
So again, very different question, but is there anything that you love doing, but you're absolutely terrible at it?
That I love doing that I'm absolutely terrible at?
Yeah. Is there anything that you love doing, but you're really bad at it?
Well, singing.
I was gonna say we know, first of all, we know that's true because there's three of us that like you.
Yeah, the fourth, I had a fourth one, but they told me I wasn't any good anymore, so I see that's what you guitar playing, I actually wanted to be a guitar player, and I do play guitar. And I write songs on guitar, like on the Beyond Fear record and my solo record. I wrote music for it. But I wanted to be a guitar player. And I'm just not very good at it. I'm good at the basics, meat and potato. Like I go on stage and play with the band. I'll play Living After Midnight.
Yep.
That's one of the only songs I know from start to finish. The solo and everything because it's straightforward. But probably that's the thing that I'm not very good at, you know, My solos sound like a Neil Young's guitar solo, so it's not very. It's like, whoa, man, that's not very good sounding.
So Yngwie has got nothing to worry about.
Well, I used to tell that story on stage that I taught Yngwie a lot when I got into the band, and he would always laugh. But yeah, that was the difference. You know, my first thing was this: I had a buddy. I was just out of high school. My buddy told this band. My buddy sings. Now, I tried out for two bands, and I didn't make it. So this is my third. And he goes, I took my guitar to this guitar player's house. Like, I'm going to play guitar. I want to be a guitar player. So I brought my guitar in. I sat down. And he was sitting in his bedroom with his guitar and started playing. He was playing Deep Purple. And then he started playing arpeggios, like Yngwie songs, and I went, I am done. I'm a singer. That's what I basically said. I am a singer. And that was the end of that.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So we have three final questions for you. First one is, if there was a day in your honor, so if we had Ripper Owens Day, how would you want people to celebrate it?
How would you celebrate? Well, I don't know. You know what? I would say make it like just, first of all, you have a barbecue, cook some burgers and stuff like that. You know, have that kind of a day. But I would say just stop whining and bitching and just be kind. That's the kind of day I'd want it to be honest. Because it would be a no snowflake day. That's what the thing would be. Because no politics. Left's not right. Wrong. Right's not right. And everybody just enjoy the day and listen to music. No bitching. That's the whole day. No bitching.
You know, it's funny you should say that. This I had a conversation, and it's exactly what you just said about, well, obviously, the very fact that you've used the word snowflake there. I had a really interesting conversation with my wife a couple of days ago, and we were talking about kind of political correctness and all that sort of thing. And what it was, I was watching Wimbledon, and I saw this young black lad playing tennis at Wimbledon, very, very good. And I was saying to my wife Tracy, I said, if I had to describe him, I would say he looked like a young Arthur Ashe. And I suddenly thought to myself, well, would I only be saying that because of his color and because, Arthur Ashe was black? And then I suddenly thought, but if I then deliberately described a young black tennis player as a young Bjorn Borg, well, then people would go, you know, Bjorn Borg was Swedish, you know, blue eyed and everything. And I suddenly realized, because I don't, you know, obviously, I'm similar to what you were saying about earlier, I live middle of nowhere. I never see anybody. I work from home, have done for kind of 20 odd years. And so a lot of those kind of things have kind of passed me by. And I suddenly think, Jesus Christ, there must be situations now where people are having to just watch every single word they say, even if they've got no intent to offend. It's just a minefield now, isn't it?
Well, you hit that right on the head, because, you know, if you don't like an athlete, you can't even say it because you got to worry about offending him. If it's a certain color or race or whatever, female, male, you're always worried about that's not always why you don't like somebody.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just go, I don't like him. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
But then they go, oh, it's because, you know, and that's the same thing. That's how you would describe him. I mean, that's a compliment.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to say he's like Arthur Ashe. I mean, that was a game breaker.
Yep.
In a sport, and a changer and an influencing, you know, this kid might not be playing tennis if it wasn't for Arthur Ashe. Now, he obviously is, because the Williams sisters and things. Yeah. Now that's not a thing. But you're right, though. You're afraid to say it. And that's not exactly why you're saying it. But even if you're complimenting this person. But yeah, you're so right. I mean, you're afraid to say anything anymore. I mean, hell, if you say, you know, if you ask for men's restroom or where the men's clothing is, people get offended by going, well, you shouldn't say the word men.
I know.
I don't even know what to say. You know, you're right. It's so weird. I mean, obviously we know there's things we shouldn't say and do, and everybody slips and makes a mistake and says things, but you're right. You're right on offensive. You just nailed it. Cause then if you say, you know, yeah, it reminds me of John McEnroe. It reminds me of whatever. And it's like, well, that's rude, you know? Yeah. Boy, you hit that right on the head.
Yeah.
You hit that right on the head.
Yeah. What do you feel, again, this doesn't have to, I mean, it can be music related, but what do you feel is your biggest achievement to date?
Well, my music career is huge, being nominated for a Grammy. But I would just like to say my biggest achievement is being the person I am, having the people surrounding me. You know, my parents, who I just went and saw today, I think my biggest achievement is becoming the person I've become. Not, you know, doesn't mean I couldn't be better, but my beliefs of what I do, using common sense, wanting to help others. I think that's probably my biggest achievement. You know, it's, you know, thinking here at the house here, my girlfriend and the kids and my kids, you know, having a great family, having my awesome kids. I have a 32-year-old and a 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. And, you know, just, I think that's it. It's easy to point out biggest achievement, obviously being nominated for a Grammy. I mean, making Judas Priest would be someone's biggest achievement in their career, right? I mean, in their life.
Yep.
Easy to say that. I think in general, staying grounded and staying the person I am and becoming who I am as a person.
Yep. No, that's very reasonable. And in fact, it kind of this does kind of lead on to we've kind of rephrased this final question. This is the only one question we ask everybody. And we kind of usually say to people after kind of after Tim Ripper Owens is no more, we kind of say, how would you like to be remembered? But in your case, because obviously, you know, you've kind of somewhat answered that of being a good person, being grounded, you know, all the things that have clearly come across in this. So what I will say to you is what would you like your headstone to read?
Well, I could still answer the last question because I want people, I'm really hoping, this isn't true yet, but I'm really hoping they'll remember me as a millionaire. That's not true yet, but that's what I hope my let's see, what would my headstone read? I mean, I guess since everybody's always compared me to Rob Halford, I guess I wish my headstone would just read Rob Halford. That way I don't have to worry about it.
So, in all seriousness, so, because we can still say this. So, how would you actually want to be remembered? You know, how would you want, again, not necessarily fans, but how would you want the people that you've kind of interacted with and stuff? How would you want them to look back on you?
I would want them to look back at me as you know, being genuine, being kind, having the same friends I've always had. You know, being a family guy, that's what I want them to look at. Just being me. I want them to look at being Tim Owens from the town of, you know, small town of Akron, Ohio, just a regular guy. You know, I mean, you know, you can put a microphone on the tombstone and you can put, you know, whatever you want to put, Scream Machine and Rock and Roll or whatever, live the dream, dreams do come true, whatever. But, you know, the whole part is all of that. None of that would happen if I'm not who I am. So I think that's what I would want. I would want people to remember me.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair enough. I will actually ask one other question because, again, this is something that kind of sort of leads into that. You obviously, as I say, you sound incredibly grounded and you sound like you kind of know your place in the universe. What has kind of stopped you? I can only phrase this in this way. What has kind of stopped you disappearing up your own backside? You know, because you do see so many people do it. What is it that has kind of kept you that way?
Well, my upbringing is one and my surroundings, you know, I mean, I stayed, you know, Judas Priest, when they flew me out, one of the first questions they asked me was, you're not some kind of LA rock star. That's why they wanted to meet me. And that's a, you know, I think it's where I live, the friends, how I come up, you know, I think that's it. I mean, listen, in my opinion, at the position I'm at, if I would have acted like that when I made Judas Priest, how many more jobs would have been there for me when I left?
Yeah.
I guess there still could have been a lot because there's a lot of jerks out there that do it. I mean, and that's part of the game. Sometimes that's part of the game, though, Stuart. Being a jerk, being a bigger than you are, you know, some giant thing, rock star guy, that's part of the thing. I mean, that could be the mystique of a lot of these guys, and that's what makes them even bigger. But I was around people that weren't like that. Judas Priest wasn't. Ronnie Dio wasn't. But mainly for me, my family, you know. My family,
yeah,
and friends, and you know, my girlfriend. You know, she didn't know who I was beforehand, and I don't even know how much she cares about that part of me, anyways. Now, you know,
yeah,
and that's what keeps you, you are who you are. I love to meet people. I have the same friends that I've always had. I just took my kids or her kids actually. We went over to see my dad, and I took her son and daughter, and we went over there. We were leaving. I said, look, there was my buddy lived at that house, my best friend. And right up here, like this house my other buddy lived in, we're still best friends. One moved to Florida after sixth grade. The other's still here. He makes my mic stands. You know, we're in our 50s now, and we're still best friends.
Yeah.
You know, they're still – we talk all the time. And so, I mean, that's the difference. You know, I think that's the difference. You know, and also I'm not a – I don't go out. I don't go drinking. I don't go – I don't have to go to parties and do stuff. I stay home. I'm a home guy. And, you know, I think that's a lot to do with it as well.
Brilliant. Well, like I said, you've come across – and the thing I've taken this more than ever is – believe you me, if you end up in prison, I don't think anyone is going to shank you. So you're good. You're good to go.
Okay. Well, then that's, I'm going to write that down, because if they do, they're going to come looking for you, because you might have a little something to do with it.
Well, thank you so much, Tim. Really appreciate your time massively. You've been an absolute star, and you know, thank you so much. And we would love to have you back on the show sometime in the future. So thank you again, and best of luck with everything.
Thanks, Stuart. Thank you.
Thank you, as always, to our wonderful guest, Tim Ripper Owens. We're going to leave you with a track from his current project. This is KK's Priest and Hellfire Thunderbolt.